Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Here's my favorite rant for the day, excerpted from our podcast, which you can find over at tomhartman.com.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here live in Hawaii from our affiliate, our Honolulu affiliate, KWAI AM 1080. And in the studio with us, Hawaiian rights activist Poco Lainui, attorney, one of the leading voices for Hawaiian independence, radio host, attorney, convener of the Hawaiian National Transition Authority, and an international advocate for indigenous peoples recognized for his work by the United Nations. Poco, if we could just wrap up bring to present moment the history of Hawaii.
Okay, well, anyway, Cleveland gets out of office. McKinley comes into office. He tries to get the treaty of annexation adopted by the Senate. Can't do it. So out of the House of Representatives, they submit a joint resolution of Congress, arguing that, well, two houses better than one, although it doesn't meet the constitutional requirement. And so they circumvent the Constitution, they adopt the treaty, claim that Hawaii is now theirs, and then they convert Hawaii into the territory.
We did that without two-thirds of the Senate?
Yes.
That's amazing. And so Hawaii became a territory. That would be like sort of like Guam right now.
But it's an incorporated territory. And they make a distinction between incorporated, unincorporated, in that if you're incorporated, you can somehow become a state in the future. Guam is not in the same status.
So then, between then and the 1950s was...
So they begin the colonization process. They take away our language. They send us to American schools. They control the airwaves. They control trade. They are able to immigrate as many foreigners into Hawaii as they want. And, of course, with the United States, it's unlimited. But with China, Japan, and other places, they control who comes into Hawaii. So they manipulate the population in Hawaii. They control the education, they control the media.
So the population became more white and less indigenous?
Not necessarily. To a certain extent, yes, but it's the plane of the mind that they work with.
I see.
When I went to school, Pledge Allegiance to the American flag, I had no Hawaiian heroes. It was George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and the rest. I know U.S. history far better than I know my Hawaiian history. So it's that colonization of the changing of the mindset. And that's why in the language that I use, and many people in my generation, we always refer to the United States as the mainland and accept the subservience of the Hawaiian position. And then in about the 1960s, things started changing. We started becoming more aware, especially when it was okay to criticize the government, the Vietnam War, the American Indian movement, the civil rights movement. So we were able to stand on the shoulders of a lot of those movements and began to start taking a look at what about Hawaii? How is it that an independent nation, regarded as one of the most well-developed nations in the world, now our people are the homeless? So, it forces us to take a look at the history. And so now you have a regeneration of the pride in culture and a look at the history and a retelling of the history from a more indigenous perspective rather than from a foreigner's perspective. In the meantime, they are moving Hawaii until 1959, and they are finally saying, okay, now we'll give you an opportunity for a fair choice, a free choice, the right to be state of the United States. If you go just a step back, in 1945, the end of the Second World War, the United Nations is formed. And they provide a particular part in Article, I think it's Article 11, in which they say that non-self-governing territories must be given the right to choose for themselves what do they want. It's the whole idea of we cannot allow the kinds of stuff that occurred with the Germans coming in and taking over another country. We need to follow this policy of self-determination. They identified Hawaii in 1946. The United States submitted to the United Nations. Hawaii is one of those places that we need to decolonize. And in that process of decolonization, the standard is you allow the people three choices: independence, free association with a colonial government, or integration into the colonial government.
Statehood.
Statehood. So those were the three choices. 1959 comes about. The question on the ballot, shall Hawaii be immediately admitted into the Union as a state? Answer, yes or no. Free choice. You vote yes, we become a state. You vote no, we remain a territory of the United States.
No independence choice.
No independence choice.
Oh, my.
Independence was not even discussed. There's a second aspect of this fraud, and that's why I call it a double fraud. Mm. And they said that the only people who can vote in this election are U.S. citizens who had been in Hawaii for at least 1 year. It's not the folks who had their independence stolen from them, but it is the Americanized people who are now residents of this territory.
Right, who are racially and culturally different.
Yes. And so the colonization process has been so great in those 50 or 60 years that they played with our minds. We went through two world wars. We learned the American ways. Most of us forgot our language. And then they placed that question on the ballot and allowed all the Americans to vote in our election as well, including the U.S. military. Absolute violation of international standards. And so now they say Hawaii is the 50th state of the United States.
And you consider this a fraud. And how widespread is, how large is the Hawaiian independence movement? I told you during the break, I lived in both New Hampshire and Vermont. Both have little independence movements. One in New Hampshire is mostly right-wing cranks, but the one in Vermont, you know, they're a little more serious. I doubt, you know, I think they have less than a 1% chance of ever seceding from the Union, but Vermont was a separate nation at the time of American, signing the Constitution. What is the status of all that here?
Well, I think Hawaii has a different status from Vermont. Hawaii had been recognized in the United Nations as having that right of self-determination. Mm-hmm. With the United States, Vermont, California, and the rest, that independence movement is quite different. I think California, actually, if anyone on that the movement towards independence, California, with its large economy, is more likely.
They could pull it off.
Yeah, so. Texas is another interesting story, but we won't get into into that story.
So
but
it's,
in Hawaii, the movement is in a growth, and the local newspaper had taken a survey back in about the 1980s, 1990, and they found that among the people of Hawaii, they felt that the sovereignty issue, the sovereignty movement, about 80% supported the sovereignty movement. But when you ask them, what is the sovereignty movement, they're not certain. Is it an independence movement for Hawaii? Or is it the recognition of the illegalities that have occurred, which is undeniable, and that some result should come about as a result of that, or some remedy should come about, which includes what they often talk about, federal recognition. Okay, we'll recognize you Native Hawaiians as Indian tribes. Hmm. And so within the Native Hawaiian group, you have a large disagreement. Some are saying, we are a nation, we are not an Indian tribe. Others are saying, but that will give us a foot up in terms of better treatment, we'll get federal funding, we'll have our institutions recognized, and so they want that. So you've had this division within the Hawaiian population. Other people are saying, and many Hawaiians are saying, that this cannot be seen as an indigenous movement. The Hawaiian nation consisted of people of many different races. It wasn't an indigenous or limited only to the indigenous people, but it came out of the indigenous people. You had Chinese, you had Japanese, you had Filipinos, you had Caucasians, you had people of many different races. So when you see it from an American perspective as if it's a racial issue, that's the wrong way of perceiving the Hawaiian nation. That's why it's a national movement rather than an indigenous movement or a racial movement.
Is there any chance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is that we need to start moving our own people to understand the possibilities of eventual independence. And it doesn't mean that we're going to kill off the foreigners, we're going to send everyone away. But what we're saying is that let us learn to integrate, get into the system, and move the system. So eventually we will be able to take over the system. I think the example is Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. I've never been there, but I heard about what had happened. So they moved within that Russian system until they were able to overtake. And so
partly the collapse of the Soviet Union that brought that.
Yes. And some people are saying that you are also seeing the collapse of the American empire.
Well, that's a good point, particularly under Trump. That's incredible. We have a minute to the break. There's a big difference between, as with any indigenous culture, Hawaiian culture and what we would call Western culture, European culture. I'd like to get into that with you.
Sure.
What do you think are the largest differences?
I think there's what I call a deep culture. And it's not necessarily a racial divide, but it's how people perceive. Even in the United States, you have more than one culture. But the governing culture at the present time is governed by three fundamental principles: domination, individualism, and exclusion. So this is what I call a DIE culture, D-I-E. That's the way economics is being run. That's the way education operates. That's the way you deal with the environment. Domination, individualism, exclusion.
And we'll hear about the Hawaiian end of
this
in just a moment. We're talking with Pokala Nui. He is a Hawaiian rights activist, attorney, one of the leading voices for Hawaiian independence, radio host, convener of the Hawaiian National Transition Authority, international advocate of indigenous peoples. We'll be right back. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And the website is HawaiianPerspectives.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Pokala Nui is still with us, and you were talking about the American culture. Or, I don't know, how would you define it? I usually refer to it as Western culture.
And yet it's not. If you really study the American history, you read the early poets, within that culture, they were not necessarily saying it should be based on DIE, or domination, individualism, and exclusion. There should be some sense of kindness, some sense of respect for the environment, many of the softer aspects of the culture. But what has happened is that you have seen the very hard DIE culture essentially take over the formal systems.
So the pushback you're talking about, like Whitman and Thoreau?
Yes.
That era?
Yeah.
And the Transcendentalist movement?
Yeah. And you cannot deny that they played an important role in the development of the character of the United States. So among people, it's not that they are all one way or the other way, but even within an individual, you have this sort of this yin-yang. But the society itself, the domination of the society is controlled usually by a DIE culture. Even in Hawaii, you have the DIE culture.
That's the basis of capitalism, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's just that there it is. So the alternative to that is?
The Hawaiian concept, instead of domination, is what we call olu-olu, sort of a kindness. We can still disagree, but that doesn't mean that we are eternal enemies. You know, we can agree on many other things. We can still create a different relationship, olu olu. Instead of individualism, the Hawaiian word is lokahi. We need to think of the group. We need to think of the tribe, of the family, of the larger group. In education, rather than teaching students individually, when students cooperate and teach one another, and if they can be graded as a class, if you're even going to engage in a grade, you know, you find that you can be far more productive in group thinking, concern for the larger group. Instead of exclusion, it's always with the concept of aloha. Although we have differences among ourselves, we need to incorporate, bring in the sense of loving kindness that forms olu olu lokahi and aloha, what I call ola culture. It's a different set of values that you find in the the rural communities. You also find it in Honolulu, but not as predominant. You find it sometimes in families and how families operate. Sometimes you also have this DIE concept that operates.
But what you're talking about, I wrote a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, and one of the main premises of the book is that there's these older cultures and these younger cultures, and that basically Western civilization is a younger culture. It's a new eruption of a new weird idea that has been rejected repeatedly by older cultures, indigenous cultures, literally all around the world. This is the big contrast that you're talking about.
It is. And it's... many of us have the two cultures within us. I, as an attorney, walk into a courtroom. I'm operating on the Dai culture. I need to represent my particular client, etc. But when I'm out in the community, my culture needs to change. I need to adjust. The problem is that a lot of people don't understand that they are functioning within a deep cultural concept. And so they just meander through one or another system, but not fully appreciated.
We'll be right back with Poka Lainui after this. We're talking with Poka Lainui, the activist and attorney and talk show host here in Hawaii. And you were talking... before the break, we were talking about the Dai culture, basically Western civilization or whatever, you know, what I call younger culture and Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And then you were talking about this older culture, if you want to recap that very quickly.
Sure. First of all, the whole idea of deep culture, a lot of people don't understand or realize that they operate within a deep culture. In Hawaii and in many other parts of the world, you have this domination, individualism, and exclusion culture that controls the formal systems, the economic system, the education system, the environmental system.
This is the water you swim in when you're walking into a courtroom as a lawyer.
That's right. On the other hand, when I'm out in the community, I operate under a totally different culture. Instead of domination, it's olu olu, with a more gentle kindness to it. Instead of individualism, it's lokahi, thinking of the group, the tribe, the larger people involved. And instead of exclusion, it's always aloha, a sense of loving kindness, caring, sharing, things like that. So the deep culture is what really determines how a society functions. And you have dysfunction when you operate only under a Dai system. You kill your environment, you kill your economic system, you start dividing people against other people, that kind of stuff. I believe that a society cannot long last. A healthy society will not last under a Dai system. It needs to investigate and start making changes in the deep culture. And we all have the roots of that softer, caring, loving system. And we better start making the changes as quickly as possible.
It's part of us as people. And yet the whole libertarian movement, the billionaires who are funding it, the guy who's in the White House right now, they all represent the Dai system that you're talking about, in spades. I mean, it's literally everything that they're invested, particularly the individualism and the domination part, and the exclusion part. I mean, you know, we are the billionaires. We made our own money. We self-made men and all this kind of stuff. This crazy stuff. So in Hawaii, what is the concept of hapa?
Well, I think if you take from the deep culture, especially the exclusion part. George Bush was a great priest for that idea. Either you're with us or you're against us. There's no in between. There's no, well, let's think about it.
Right.
You know? Hapa is the same idea. Hapa is the idea that there is gray between or in life. It's not only black and white.
There's a middle ground.
Yeah, there's a middle. There's a lot of middle ground. In terms of racial appreciation, who is Barack Obama? Black man or white man? His Hapa, his in between, his a mixture of many, many other things aside from even race. He's a human being. He's a father. He's a thinker. He's many things.
By the way, Hawaiians know that he was born and lived here.
Oh yeah.
Barry drove us by the apartment building where he grew up. Yeah, I can't believe Trump had that scam going, you know, with the birther movement. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. But in Hawaii, what you have is this idea of mix, this cosmopolitan idea. I am Native Hawaiian. I am Caucasian. I am Chinese. My wife is all of that plus even more. My children are so confused. It takes too long to memorize all of their races. Hawaii is a place in which we understand. Maybe we don't use the word hapa as much as we did before, but this idea of mixing things together. We have this custom of what we call mixed plate. Now it's becoming more popular in mainland USA, in which you're not only going to have an Italian dish. What we have in mixed plate, we have hot dog, we have kimchi, we have daikon, we have rice, and we have a mixture of many different things. That's part of hapa, the mixture of all of the different cultures and opportunities that we have had, as well as races, religions. My wife's a Buddhist priest. My daughter's a lay minister for a Pentecostal church. I'm so confused.
Wow, that's quite a contrast. Yeah.
But we're still a family.
Yeah.
So that's the idea of hapa.
So in the minute that we have left, how do we bring this to the larger culture of the United States?
I think conversation is the most important for people to be able to engage in, not to be lectured to. And that's why these kinds of programs in which you can even hear the audience calling in, expressing themselves, and you can have a free flow of intelligent conversations. And so I think your role, when I'm on the radio, my role and other people, media has to be taken back. We need to build transparency. The role that media is supposed to do to build transparency in this society's conversation, that's so important. And that, to me, is the best solution to bring in correction, both within the American experience as well as in the Hawaii experience.
And telling, basically, people that the path of the billionaires is not the... Or the culture, really, of the billionaires is so toxic. Poka Lainui, thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure.
It has been an honor and a pleasure to talk with you and to meet you and to have you in our studio, or in Barry's studio. In your studio, this is where you do your show. Thank you. Poka Lainui. We'll be back. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nate Atwell, filling in for Tom Hartman. Tom is broadcasting live out of KWAI out of Honolulu, Hawaii, one of our great affiliates. And today's show is utterly amazing. You're going to find out everything you wanted to know about how Hawaii became a state and what exactly that process was. We talked to Richard Wolff on trade. No one knows the economy better than Professor Richard Wolff. Sylvia Algaretto tells us about the teacher strikes and just how we can support them. And so much more. TomHartman.com/podcast and YouTube.com. Search Tom Hartman. Thank you.